Well, when we have to answer that question, what do I know of holy? What's your answer? Nothing. Kinda. I say only Jesus. The only holy I know is Jesus. How many of y'all are that far along? I can know holy because holy has come to us and will dwell in us, and he has a name. Anybody know his name?
Jesus.
What about this side over here? Do y'all know his name?
Jesus.
What about up top? Y'all know his name?
Jesus.
There you go. From beyond. All right. I want us to be aware today that guess what? There's three things that are going to shape you. Two of them produce this. We have desire and we have passion. How many of y'all have desire and you have passion? And desire and passion affect attitude. Desire and passion affect the attitudes that we bear in our lives. And so I'm going to ask you today, what are your desires? And before we even get into the message, all right, God, begin to show me what my real desires are. Because I guarantee you, desires lead to your passions. And I guarantee you, desires and your passions, they really shape the attitudes you carry in life, don't they? And guess what? Many of you in this room are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the good news. If you're yet to receive Jesus Christ, he desires, I mean, y'all glad to hear this, God desires to be in you. Jesus desires to save you. God's overarching desire is this: no one shall perish. Now that's his desire, isn't it, brother? He didn't say no one would perish. He said his desire is that no one perishes. I believe that Jesus died for all people. How many of y'all believe that? Jesus died for anybody. Anybody, all sinners. And here's the good news. If you've messed up, not done what God wanted you to do, you've sinned against God, you are qualified to be saved today. How many of y'all are glad about that? You are qualified to be saved today. So I just want to break a myth. A lot of you, like me, you've grown up, you know, in a small town in the South somewhere, and you've heard this, you know, that good people go to heaven and bad people go where? They go to hell. So I want you to hear the truth. There are no good people. That blows some of you away. There are no good people. I'll prove my point. Since I'm by the professors, I got to prove. I got to give source. I don't know of a human being, nor have I read of a human being, except one who happened to be 100% human and 100% God, that totally kept the Ten Commandments. And to be good, Virginia, it would require a human from birth to death to never breach the Ten Commandments. I don't know. John Paul, do you know? You've done a lot of research. Do you know of any that have done that? I only know of one, and you know the same one I do, and he happens to be divinely born from heaven. And so since he wrote the Ten Commandments, he could keep the Ten Commandments, since he was the author and perfecter of our faith. So where does that leave us? Now, I know this bothers us because you and I have gone to school and they told us through the power of humanity we would change the world. Now we're in the 21st century and we're not hearing a lot of good news because we've surrendered to our powers and now we're getting our results and now we get all tore up about that. Could there be a God that's beyond us? I say, yeah, you'll have to decide. I say, yes, there's a God beyond us. You'll have to decide where you stand. Now, what is your desire? What is your passion? Because that'll lead to your attitudes. Let's do a quick review. Here's what we've been learning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Heaven. Why? People who learn they need God will receive God. Isn't that right, Tommy Johnson? You've preached a lot here lately. Crabtree's had you all over the county. And guess what? Nobody got saved until they realized they needed to be saved. Until they realized they needed to be saved. Now, here's the problem. Girls, we keep preaching a false gospel. We're not going to get biblical results. And we try to do this. We try to tell people they're good. And they need God so they can be better. Baloney. We have sinned against God, and we need God to save us, all of us. Some of y'all are proud. You go, well, I've only drank two beers, and my friends drank four cases. Well, guess what? One of you had a buzz, and one of you was really drunk. That's the only difference. It has nothing to do with salvation. The salvation is Jesus will save us. What do you think, Bobby Baldwin? Jesus will save us. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus will? Jesus will. I start there. Jesus will. Now, I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage Dave. Think about what your desire and passion is. Where you want to go. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of desire and passion here. Y'all are young. When I was younger, I'm not old. When I was younger. Okay? Watch this. I'm going to live forever. I've just begun. All right? Even if I was 100, I've just begun to live forever. So check us out. I had a lot of desire and a lot of passion, but I had some bad attitudes. Because desire and passion alone will not bring life. Get that? Desire and passion alone will not bring life. You got to desire the right things. Well, here's what the scripture said. Blessed are those who mourn, those who realize where they are, and they seek God. They'll be comforted. Last week we learned this. Instead of telling God what he ought to think and what he ought to do, we might ought to listen to God and be meek and teachable, and we'll inherit the earth, yeah? And then today it says, man, get on the right course. Put your desires in the right place. You ready for this? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Woo! How many of y'all want a righteous sandwich? How many of y'all hunger and you thirst for righteousness? I want to do what God wants me to do. I have a hunger to do what God wants me to do. I have a desire to do what God wants me to do. And now guess what it says? There's a promise. They will be filled. When you hunger and when you thirst for what is righteous, what is right of God, you will be filled. Well, let's hear that clearly. Y'all ready to listen? Y'all ready to listen? First step into righteousness. If you receive God's forgiveness, now you will be connected to the kingdom of heaven, thus capable of a more fulfilled life. Make sense? Now, I'm talking about hunger. How many of y'all ever hunger for something? Any of y'all ever hunger and desire for something? How many of y'all glad you get hungry? Come on, raise your hand if you're glad you get hungry. Do any of y'all get hungry? This is dangerous at this time to preach this sermon. How many of y'all starting to get hungry right now? Yeah, I mean, it's about time to get what? Hungry. Well, the other day I did something that was really bad. I want to talk about a hunger. How many of y'all have ever hungered for? Any of y'all ever hungered for a particular food? I let the TV get a hold of me, Dale. I let the TV get a hold of me. I was sitting there watching these football games. You know, it's football season. And Taco Bell starts running these commercials. Live Mas. Anybody know what that means? Live Mas. Huh? Live more. Well, I want to tell you what. I don't know who came up with this, but whoever did, I know they're saved and they love Jesus. I kept watching this commercial, and they had told me at Taco Bell, they had combined the Dorito chip and put it into a taco shell. And then put Taco Magic meat in there with everything else that's not good for you. Well, I want you to know I resisted for a long time. I thought to myself, a Dorito taco. That's a good idea. I thought to myself, self, why didn't you pitch Taco Bell that idea? And you could be retired. So I went by the Taco Bell. They opened up one down here by the street. And I said, the only Christian neighborly thing for me to do would be to go down there to that Taco Bell and get one of those Dorito tacos. I mean, they just opened up. I want to be neighborly and let them have a little business. Bobby, Lord, have mercy. About 5 weeks ago, I whizzed in there through the drive-thru. Lady came on the speaker, you know. What would you order me? I said, I need some of them Dorito tacos. Four of them. I wanted to test them, see if it'd be all right. I brought them to my office. Boy, I opened them up. I mean, they even sound good opening. They got a little cardboard holder for them so you can stick them back in there after you take a bite. I said, somebody's thought that through. I took a bite, and I want you to know everything in my body went, ah. I mean, my tongue was beating my brains out to get another bite. I mean, this was good. I did the worst thing I could. I ate one. Then I ate another one. I ate another one. I was just seeing if they were good. By the time I got to the fourth one, I was in the fourth gospel. I was confirmed. This was the truth. Now, I go to lunch a lot of times with Mark Hale, and I have to give my brother Mark Hale, the Reverend Dr. Mark Hale, is serious about health. And he's just a tad bit of a food snob. So when you go to lunch, I tried to lean on him. The next day I said, hey, listen, I have one of them Dorito tacos. He said, we ain't going there. He said, that stuff is not good for you. I said, it may not be good for you, but it's good. I said, God desires the good things in our lives. He gives us the desires of our heart. He said, he does, but he doesn't give us the desires of our stomach. So we went and ate someplace healthy. I mean, it's like my wife. You know what my wife gives me sometimes to eat? Celery. Why? I mean, just take your straw, put some water on it, and take a bite. I mean, celery, that's got to be a food from hell. I mean, the devil would eat celery. It has no flavor. I mean, what flavor is celery? You don't know, because it doesn't have any flavor. And how many of y'all have ever had a moment where you just went, man, I need some celery? Senator, you ever had that moment? Not one time in your life, and you've had some life now, have you gone, man, I got to have some celery. See, it's a food from hell. But my wife says it's healthy. But my wife does stuff like this. She brought me a bowl the other day, and I looked at her and I said, you have gone into the backyard and pulled weeds out and thrown it in a bowl and called it a salad. I said, I am not a horse. I don't eat grass. I eat meat. So when she gives me a salad, I mess with her. I put a bunch of blue cheese on my grass. So I have alfalfa and blue cheese. So I said, the blue cheese is going to kill me, so you might as well give me a steak. A few days later, you know what happened to me? It's Thursday. Mark was in a meeting. I got a hunger. Guess what it was for? I could see those Dorito tacos. They started in my mind. And I knew I was supposed to go to lunch with Mark, but I got a desire to get Dorito tacos. I mean, I was losing my mind. So I snuck out of here while he's in a meeting, snuck back in the side door of my office, opened them quietly when he couldn't hear me. And he opens my door, and there I am with a taco stuck in my mouth with a Mountain Dew in my hand. Now, guess what? I desired it, and I went in, got it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I want you to hear God's promise there. And I want to tell you something that Pastor Jamie preached on 2 months ago, and he gave us a devotional a couple of weeks ago to our staff devotion. Jamie served a stint in Romania. In Romania, there's severe starvation. Jamie told us when he got there in Romania, he's amazed by, and he's really struggling because he's never seen starvation. Most of us have never seen starvation, okay? I ain't had a lot of hungry people in America that told me they were hungry that looked hungry. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I've had people come to my office, they go, I'm starving. I go, I want to go. I keep my mouth shut. But I want to go, if I'm looking at you, you ain't been starving very long. You got my point? I'm talking real starvation. Well, these kids, their stomachs are distended because of starvation. And what blew Jamie away, they brought in the food and they had to force feed the children. Because do you realize there's a point of starvation that you're no longer hungry? I'm going to ask some of y'all a question. Some of y'all may be spiritually starving. You have so resisted the things of God for so long, you're not even hungry. So you need to thank God when you get hungry. You get hungry. How many of y'all are hungry for the things of God? You see, you need to thank God when you're hungry for righteousness, because then you'll go get it. You need to thank God that you got a desire that you want to participate in the things of God. I want you to hear the promise, for they will be filled. Not might be filled, could be filled. They will be filled. And I want to tell you something, you got to eat the right things. The things of God. Desire them. Let me give you three things you ought to desire that come from God. Three things you ought to desire that come from God. You ought to have a passion for. You ought to have a passion to pray. How many of y'all are thankful you get to pray on a daily basis? You need to thank God. God, I get to pray to you. I get to talk to you. I get to hear from you. The more you pray, guess what? The more God's going to speak. And the more God's going to speak, the more you're going to know what to do. The more you will be filled. It's guaranteed. Desire to pray. Man, if I prayed like I ate tacos, this county would be changed. See what I'm saying? Watch this. Praise. I think we lack praise in the church. I think a lot of us who follow Jesus Christ, we lack praise. I heard a man speak who came from another faith that came to Christianity Wednesday night, and he kept using this word. It was amazing. And I thought to myself, how few times do I hear Christians in today's moment use this word? Amazing. God, you're amazing. God, you're amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the... that saved the wretch like... Why do we forget that? I'm amazed at what God can do. You know what? You're amazed at what God can do when you're participating in what He's doing. Amazing works of God. That ought to be the heart of those who follow Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. You ought to praise Him. How many of y'all got some good things to praise God for? How many of y'all glad to be here today? Yo. Watch this. University students, you need to thank God that you can take a final. That means you're still in class. They hadn't kicked you out yet. Praise God, you get to go to university. Praise God, you get to move forward. Praise God, you get to set yourself up. Listen, we need some people that are praising. The church needs to turn away from its complaints into God's praise. I'm telling you, there's power in praise. Praise Him with everything we have. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre and the cymbal and the drum and all that have breath. Give Him. God desires our praise. He desires our prayers. You put prayer and praise in motion, you will be filled. And there's one thing that God likes to do, proclaim. You got three P's. You need to pray. All right. Pray. And you need to praise. In all that we do. And then guess what? You need to proclaim what God has done. How many of y'all got a life you can only blame on God? My life is blamed on Jesus. You want to know how Elizabeth and I stayed married? Jesus. You want to know how we raised kids? Jesus. You know how Hillview Heights Church kept going? Jesus. You want to know what keeps him up? Jesus. Now some of you are saying that's too simple. Carter, people will tell me that's too simple. I need a complicated gospel. Really? Really? I went crazy over a taco and you need a complicated gospel? Folks, even those of you who think you're sophisticated and intelligent, you're not that sophisticated and intelligent. There are some great simple things that move our lives. You know, the scripture didn't go complex, it went natural. How many of y'all, it's natural to pray? Natural to pray. It's natural to praise. It's natural to praise. You say, well, God ain't coming through. Well, have you prayed to Him? See, let's run a check. Do you desire God to come through in your life? Or is church just kind of a side dish in your arena? If it's a side dish, why do you expect glory? If you won't do the first things of God, why do you expect the great things of God? I don't get folk. If you won't take the first step, don't expect God to move with you in the 20th step. God's a God that moves first step, and then what do you move to? Second step. Before too long, you've walked into heaven. But you got to desire the things of God. I promise you, you wake up on Monday morning desiring the things of God, guess what will be in front of you? Guess what? The things of God. So here's just some good heads up instruction today. I would start the day with prayer. How many of y'all start the day with prayer? Soon as your feet hit the floor, dear God, this is your day, not my day. And Lord, I desire to have your desires instead of my desires. Because I don't know about you, but I've come to this realization. My desires can get me in trouble. Amen. How many of y'all desire some things that aren't good for you? Boy, I do. Now, I'm going to show you another problem we got. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So you need to thank God. You need to praise God if you're hungry and thirsty. I don't know about you, but if I miss church on Sunday, I know I've missed church. If I've missed worship, I know I've missed worship. That's something I desire. I want to be with y'all. I want to thank y'all for something. I praise God for this. It amazes me. I still park that old truck in the back of this church, hop out of it on Sunday morning, and as I walk to this church, Leonard Bailey, as God is my witness, I'm as hyper today and excited today and as passionate today about this place as I was when I had a mullet. And that was a long time ago. Still excited. that God's going to do something greater than things that I've never seen. I'm telling you, make your desires God's desires. Now, here's one of his desires. He wants to redeem people. It's consistent with God. He doesn't trash humans. He remakes them. He doesn't discard them. He brings them in so that they might be the best people they were made to be. That's God's heart. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all desire some things that just won't fulfill you? Another thing I like, but it never fulfills me. You see, the promise is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. They will be what? Filled. Now, how many of y'all chasing popcorn? I like popcorn, too. I like popcorn. But you know what? Popcorn never delivers. You can eat bags and bags and bags of popcorn and you're never what? You never satisfied. Popcorn is Nick Jagger's, can't get no satisfaction. And I mean, I like kettle corn. I want to, you know, but you know what? I've eaten a bowl of kettle corn and I'm still hungry. But hold on. Some of us desire popcorn instead of a meal. How many of y'all notice that popcorn can never do what a steak does? Just won't do it, Klein. I mean, if I was to say, Klein, here's you a bowl of kettle corn. Over Redenbacher, man, I'm going to give you the top shelf, okay? And over here's filet mignon. Which one are you going to get? I'm going to pick the filet because after I eat that filet, I am what? Full. How many of y'all have ever gone, man, I've just had a bowl of popcorn and I just feel blessed. Here's all I get out of popcorn. You got stuff in your teeth. You got to get dental floss out, you know. And if you just eat a bunch of, especially if you eat that movie popcorn, you're going to die young. You know what I'm talking about? Him and the kind of popcorn they put in that box. And then they take that cholesterol clogger thing and they just pour hot cholesterol. You might as well just inject your veins with butter. How many of y'all have ever tried to eat a whole box of that movie popcorn? Were you fulfilled? Honey, you were what? I was sick. I ate all that butter. Butter was coming out of my ears. I was sweating butter. It was nasty. Popcorn want what? Follow me. How many of you, your desires are popcornish? And that's why you never get fulfilled in life. They're not righteous. They're temporary. You know, the American church really nauseates me because I get really mad at some of my colleagues that I love deeply because they're popcorn. They hand out popcorn to their congregation. Sister Coleman, they do. They don't give them the meat of God's word. They hand out popcorn. They tell them they're going to feel good. It's all about feeling good. Popcorn's about feeling good. Steak's about getting built. Popcorn's about a feel-good comfort food. That's not what the gospel's about. The gospel's about a new life with a new purpose, with a new destiny. Somebody hearing the preaching right now, the gospel's not about this moment. It's about the moment to come and to come and to come and to come. The gospel says, I am the Lord today, just like I was yesterday, and just like I will be in the morning. The gospel says, on and on and on and on. Feel-good says, what about now? God says, what about later? How many of y'all have had enough popcorn? Religion's kind of popcorn. A lot of y'all would love for me to be like Dr. Phil. Well, Pastor, how do I need to feel better? I said, in fact, you don't even need to feel good. You ought to feel bad right now. You've sinned against God. You ought to mourn so you can be comforted. In fact, you don't need to feel good. If you feel good about what just went on right now, you are deceiving yourself and you will never be fulfilled. Still got to get real. God is a God of reality. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. I like this, Brian. It says, if you hunger and thirst for it, guess what God said he'll do? He'll fill you. Brother, he'll give it to you, won't he? No matter where you are, if you hunger for it, God will give it for you. Now you say, I don't know, Rev. All right, test God in this in the morning. I want you to wake up in the morning and say, God, I want your desire today and see if it doesn't cross your way. Then if you participate in God's righteousness, what will you also participate in? God's fulfilling. It's natural. Go with me to Psalm 42. It's natural. How many of y'all know God wants to be with us? And he's put inside of us a natural desire to want to be with him. I don't know about y'all. I like being with God. How many of y'all like being with God? Today I didn't wake up and say this. Oh gosh, I gotta go preach to all them people. Lord have mercy. My job stinks. Got to get up early on Sunday, talk to people who don't want to listen, and then go home. I didn't say that. I said, man, it's Sunday. It's time to worship. We're going to bust out the guitars, the drums, the music. We're going to celebrate God. We're going to get to shake hands with each other. We're going to get to drink coffee. We're going to get to see people saved. We're going to get to see people baptized. I have no idea what God's going to do today, but I know he'll do something today. That's the kind of life we get to live in Christ. Man, that's good. Look, it's natural. Psalm 42:1, guess what he says? As the deer panteth for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. You know who wrote this? A guy that killed a giant, led a nation, and was threatened by a king. David says, oh God, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants, yearns for you, O God. It's natural, isn't it? I got a few deer around the house, but I don't get to see them drink water. But I know what it's like for a dog to want to drink water. My dog, old Max, he goes out in the yard. My dog's not real smart. He reminds me of some of you. He got a lot of energy. You know what he does with his energy? Run around, 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 around. He don't go anywhere, though. Where are you going? Round. He goes in the backyard and just spins around. Any of y'all ever feel like it? He spins around. In fact, he chases his tail. And he don't even have a tail because it's cut off. So he chases his nub. And he runs around. And he'll run up here and he'll run around and run down. And then finally, he becomes exhausted. And he gets what? Thirsty. You know where he goes? Now, my dog's pretty cool about this. He can open the back door by himself. So bang, he hits the handle, runs through his shoulder. He doesn't speak to any of us. He doesn't want to be petted. He doesn't want, when he's thirsty, guess where he goes? To his water bowl. And you hear him in there. Makes a lot of noise. When he's fulfilled, then he comes out for his purpose. Ooh. How many of y'all would get more direction if you spent more time in the streams of the living water and then went out instead of exhausting yourself before you do go out? In fact, I pray this every Sunday. Please, dear God, let none of those beautiful people that you bring to this church hear anything I got to say, because it won't last. But may they hear what you have to say, because that is forever. So I'm just encouraging you, man. Get in those three things. Get in those three things. Pray to God with a consistent heart. Praise him for everything you got going on in your life. Man, if you're still married, you need to praise God that you're getting married. If your marriage is on the rocks, you need to praise God that it can be healed. If you're struggling in school right now, I got a good suggestion. Study. All I can tell you is I know this. When I made bad grades, I didn't read many books. I've also found this, just as helpful hints. Going to class improves your grade point average. I found that to be beneficial. My desire picked up when my father said, you can pay for your own college. This changed my whole focus on study. Huh? But our desires, our passions, that engages us in our interactions. Somebody know what I'm saying? And when it does, it changes our life. Prayer, praise, and proclaim. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll change who you are and what you're about. So think about this week. Y'all cool? I'm finished. Y'all okay with that? I don't know if we're getting done early or not. We're just getting done. I don't know what early is. That's the message you're supposed to hear today. Can y'all get that? Desire the things of God. Have passion for the things of God. And then you'll be filled by the things of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. They will be what? Stay out of popcorn. Stay out of popcorn. I mean, not literally, but spiritually. If a service feels good, you got to ask it this question. What did it do for me on Monday? See, we need churches that are changing Monday through Friday, not churches that are just shouting on Sunday. What about Monday? What about when somebody's up in my face? So get up in your face. You know what I'm talking about, brother? Get up in your face on Monday. Here come a devil. Here you come. And you say, you know what? I desire the things of God today just like I did on Sunday morning. What about in your marriage, man? Desire the things of God. Larry and Emily have been preaching that for 5 years around here. Desire the things of God. Raise your children. Desire the things of God. Desire the things of God. Righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. Now, how many of y'all, praise God, you're still hungry? Y'all too. You ought to be thirsty. Every once in a while, you need to go, man, I need some scripture. I need to hear what God has to say. I need to pray. Now, if you're starving, you need to come to the altar today and say, you know what, God? Make me hungry, make me thirsty. In fact, let me show you what's happening. If you're not hungry and thirsty, you're losing your saltiness. The Bible says over in Matthew, right after he gives these Beatitudes, he said, we're the salt and the light of the earth. And if we lose our saltiness, what good are we? So it's time to hunger and thirst for God. Young people, man, I'm excited, but hunger and thirst for God. One day y'all want to get the right husband? And shake your heads, at least con me that you want to, okay? Listen, ladies, you want the right guy? Hunger and desire the things of God. What's God going to send you? The right guy. Now, don't throw him out when he doesn't look like you want him to. That may be the one that God's going to bless you with. Guys, same thing. You desire the things of God, you'll end up with the right wife. But here's the problem. When we desire our stuff, we're not always fulfilled. Because here's the problem. Our stuff doesn't always fulfill. In fact, the stuff we create never lasts. How long's a hero last? That's not rhetorical. I want an answer. How long does a hero last? For the moment. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Some of y'all are heroes. Hey, in the moment, we need that what? Hero. I mean, if I'm trapped on the third floor of a building and a great firefighter comes up there and carries me down the ladder, he'll be my hero for a life, but he'll only be a hero for a what? To the next crisis. There's another hero. But guess what Jesus is? He's forever and ever and ever. Amen. And he desires to be with you, in you, save you, love you, connect you, and give you a new life. So I think we ought to start releasing that life. All I can tell you is you're a horrible pastor here. I wish at times I desired to pray as much as I did a silly taco. Hunger and thirst. This is a living faith. Breathe it in, exhale it, participate in it. God will fulfill your life. Good deal? All right, if there's any of you here today, and some of you are here today for this one glorious, amazing purpose, God wants you to know this in a big way. He loves you so dearly that he died on a cross for you. He's risen from the grave. He's alive and he's actually here present in this room in the Holy Spirit to let you know you can be forgiven. Your sins absolutely forgiven, and you can be connected to heaven forever. How many of y'all are glad to know that? That's God's desire. He doesn't want anybody left out. You say, well, what am I going to do with that? Well, you can choose to say, you know what, God, I don't want to listen to you. I'm going to do it my own way. That's your business. I just tell you what God's business is. God will save you. So you're not blowing me off. I'm just FedEx guy. You know what I mean? UPS guy. I'm just handing you the package. The package changes your life. Forever. It's amazing what God's doing in here. Some of you need to be baptized because you need to get right with God. You need to be obedient to what God asks you to do. Some of you need to just ask God to make you hungry and thirsty. You're not even hungry and thirsty anymore. Please don't turn Jesus into a routine. That is a dull way to live this faith. Boy, I used to do that in my life. I grew up religious, you know. I went to church on Sunday, and really I didn't think about it till the next Sunday. And even during Sunday, I didn't think about it much. I used to sit in church and think about football games. I know none of y'all have ever done that. I used to sit in church and couldn't wait till it was over. And now I'm like, wait a minute, God, what are you going to do? today, some of you, the ones that God's drawn to grace, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Barry, you just got out of the baptistry a few weeks ago. Any adverse side effects you know of? Okay, good. I was just checking. Well, the reason I ask this is people tell me, they say, well, I'm scared to be baptized. Well, it's not like one of them drug commercials to take care of your sniffles. You take the drug and everything else in your body falls apart. Have y'all ever seen the adverse side effects of these drugs? You know, that twitching leg syndrome. I didn't know we had that, but apparently there's a pill that keeps your leg from twitching. But if you take it, you'll bleed from your ears, your eyeballs will fall out, your nose will remove itself. I mean, it's crazy. I was like, Lord have mercy, I think I'll just let my leg twitch. Well, there's no adverse effects from baptism other than this. You will be fulfilled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what God says do, righteousness. God asks us to be baptized, but before that, he asks us to repent of our sin. Meaning this, God, I'm sorry from where I've been. But Lord, I receive what you're going to do in my life. That'll change you forever. Some of you were brought here today to hear that. I hope you receive it. I hope God makes that make sense to you. How many of you today just need to say, God, yeah, my desires are a little tangled at the moment. I have all the stuff I want to do, and I hadn't checked in on what you want me to do. Try that and see what'll happen. Try it in the morning. Dear God, this is your day, and I want to live it like you want me to live it. Do you think God would help you with that prayer? Or do you think he's going to go, nah, I'm not even paying attention to that. I bet he answered that prayer. Here's how I know. He's already said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Now look at this, comma. They will be fulfilled. Not might be, possibly. They will be. So here's what I want you believers in Jesus Christ to hold on to. You will see heaven because you've received the righteousness of heaven, and it is guaranteed by God, not by man. And here's what I love about God. I don't know about y'all. This is just my observation. People lie. What do you all think? I think people in the news lie. I think both Republicans and Democrats lie. What do y'all think? I think independents can't even make up their mind and lie. What do you think? I think everybody skews the truth to their own vision. What do you think? That's just me. Have you all noticed this? But then there's God. You will be fulfilled. So if you're like I was at one time in my life wondering why I could find no satisfaction, I could look distinctly at that moment in my life, and my desires were not of righteousness. Desire the righteousness of God and find the fulfillment of living. His name is Jesus. He wants to save you. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that you're our God and we're not it. That you are in us and you want to abide in us and you want to change us and you want to show us a new life. Lord, we pray right now for those who need to be drawn to understand grace. Lord Jesus, I pray very, very pointedly here that you would convince those who need to be saved that they need to be saved. Now just listen. Jesus talking to you, just tell him, Lord, I know I've sinned. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Lord, I want you to save me. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Lord, come into my life. Be teachable. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me of my sin. If you're doing that right now, man, God's saving you. Only Jesus can save you. Jesus is saving you right now. Well, in just a minute, if you'll slide up here and talk to a pastor, just letting him know so we can celebrate with you. Those of you who've received Christ through the week and need to be baptized, we ask you to come forward to let us know so we can get that set up. Now, some of you need to pray this. God, my desires have not been yours. Lord, increase my desire for you. Take it from there and just let him do his thing, okay? I got good news. Altar's open. I got great news. It's amazing. Did you know in the United States of America, I just preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to you and nobody tried to shoot me? Amen. Did you realize that there's 57 countries on the globe today? If I told you what I just told you today, my life would be in jeopardy. Right now, the gospel is able to be preached freely and openly to people here. So you know what I'd do? I'd receive it while I could. There may come a day in the United States, I know none of y'all believe this, that I may not be able to preach this gospel openly and freely without being fearful for my life. They can shoot me. They better bring a big stick. Because I'm going to ask God for one of them slingshots like David had. But you know what? I don't think that day would ever occur if we would all desire the things of God's righteousness. I don't know why, as Americans, we got to have a crisis before we react. Instead of just say, God, I want to do it your way. I just want to do it your way. Well, come on. Let's do it his way. This altar's already full, but there's room for you. Lord, release the altar. Those who are being saved, those who need to be baptized, those who need to be healed, those marriages that need to be reunited, the works of you, God, may it just be released now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.